Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
So thankful and grateful for you all to have me. So grateful to be had. So glad to see some of my family here as well. Some family members, they like to beat me up every time they see me, so it might not be so good to see them, but but I'm so glad. Glad to be here again with you all. Thank you, the elders of the congregation, and you all as a whole. I don't want to be long. I don't want to take a lot of time. I was looking at the average, going through the website, looking at the average sermon length, and it looked like about 40 minutes, so I'm going to try to beat a record, man, maybe try to get 38.5 minutes in or something like that, but like I said, as long as you all help me preach, what I mean by that is if I don't have to repeat myself, you just give me some head nods or anything like that. He told me, hey, you cannot bear your verbal. So just keep going, even if, I don't think you're with me. So I'm going to keep going, and hopefully that we'll get through in a timely manner. What I want to do talk about is cherishing, and celebrating the day. All right, and I've got this title from one of my favorite singers. I love singing. I'm not good at it, but I love singing. I love to listen, and I love to sing along. One of my favorites is Sade. Some will argue Sade or Sade, I don't know. But anyway, she has a song called Cherish the Day, and it's a very beautiful song, if anybody knows it, and a lot of the songs, if you really think about it, those love songs, yeah, they're secular in nature, but you know that when you put a godly twist on them, you sing those with the love you have for God, it becomes really great. So these words, just listen to them. She says, I cherish the day, I wish I could sing it, I won't go astray, I won't be afraid. You won't catch me running. You're ruling the way that I move. And I breathe your air. You only can rescue me. This is my prayer. You show me how deep love can be. Now, she's talking about a man in here, breathing his air, the man ruling the way that she moves, and how he shows her how deep love can really be. Turn your wife. Is that wife? Wire is not on. Sorry, let me turn that on. Thank you very much. All right. So cherishing and celebrating the day. Oh yeah, that's much louder. Cherishing and celebrating each day. So I was listening to that. And I said, man, if we could, take that and use that, those same lyrics for God, because God really should be ruling the way that we move, right? I mean, God should really be the one who we give thanks for breathing his air. You only can rescue me. Who can rescue us but God? Who is the true Savior but God? This is my prayer. You show me how deep love can be. How deep of a love can you get besides giving yourself for a people? Not just sacrificing, sometimes, but I'm talking about giving your life for someone. You can't get much deeper than that. If I step in front of a bus and push you out the way and I get hit, I mean, someone may argue that I must have loved you very much. That's a deep love. So, knowing all those things, she said that I will cherish the day, and I'm guessing she meant I will cherish the day with you. I will cherish each day I have with that person, whoever that person she was talking about. But we could put that in God. I will cherish the day with God. I will cherish, and I won't go astray. Well, we strive not to go astray. I won't be afraid. That has something to do with our faith, right? And you won't catch me running. We have some people who ran in the Bible. We know what one ran and had to learn the hard way that if you don't do what God wants you to do, tells you to do, he's going to make you do it anyway. That was Jonah. We understand that, right? Well, he tried to run, and that didn't work out as planned. He ended up doing what God told him to do, and even when he wasn't so happy about it, he still did it. So cherishing the day. Let's look at Psalm chapter 118, verse 24. And this is a psalm. Psalm chapter 118 is a thanksgiving psalm. It's written just with a lot of thanks. It starts off saying, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. And I'm reading out of the Christian Standard, the Holman Christian Standard Version.
It says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His faithful love endures forever." Let Israel say, "His faithful love endures forever." You know, sometimes I just would like to wake up and be with my church family, and we all say that together, because we are the true Israel, as we know, right? We are the true Israel. So when we wake up, I think it would be nice if we said, "His faithful love endures forever." But we're going to go down to verse number 24. And it says, "This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." This is the day. Today is the day the Lord has made. Let us what? Rejoice and be glad in it. So, celebrating the day. And I'm not talking about celebrating as in just partying. You know, you wake up, you start partying. Woo! A brand new day. That's not what I'm here to necessarily talk about. That's great, though. Celebrate that. Enjoy that. But that's not what I'm here to talk about. I'm talking about finding joy in God's marvelous creation. I'm talking about living life purposefully. Living life intentionally. Living life knowing that God has allowed you to wake up for a reason. Life is a priceless opportunity. We understand that it's a gift of incalculable worth. I mean, what I'm saying, incalculable, meaning you only can decide what your life will be worth. Am I right? Yes, only you can. When you're born, no one knows what you're going to, you know, come out. We don't know how many lives you're going to change or how many people you're going to affect. We don't know. You don't even know going day to day. But you do understand that today, we don't know what's going to happen when we leave this building. We don't know whose lives we can touch when we leave this building. We don't know the opportunities God is going to give us when we leave this building. So our life's worth does not come by what we have. We understand that. It comes by what we do with the breath that God gives us. So let's look at this. We understand that each day is a non-renewable resource. Once it's gone forever. You can't get it back. Many people are on their deathbeds right now with regrets. Should've, would've, could've. They tell me even, you know, they're not on their deathbed, but when they see me playing ball, they say, "Man, if I was your age again, or if I would have did it this way, if I had your vibrancy, things like, if I had your skills, you know, and your abilities." I'm not going to get off on a tangent about me, but it's true. The opportunities and the time that God has given us at the time that we are right now. I'm not talking about waiting until we say, "All right, by the time I'm 40, 50, 60, I'm going to give my life to God." No, I'm talking about in the moment you are now, God is working in your life for a reason. He has you here for that purpose. Whatever your purpose is, you're going to run into opportunities to do some good. And He wants you to use the opportunity, the time that He gives you, purposefully. So once it's gone forever. When you have those opportunities, you leave them, you know, you're not going to be able to get them back. And our responsibility as thoughtful believers, I believe, is to redeem the time. That's what Ephesians chapter 5:16 tells us. It says, "Be wise. Be wise. Redeem the times, because the days are evil." What does he mean by redeeming the times? He's talking about buying it back, making good use of it. Redeeming the times is not something, like I said, that you can get back. But let's think of it like this. It's using the time you have for the right reason. For instance, it's not talking about just a time. Like if I told you, what time are we going to eat at? What time are we? How much time is it before dinner? We're talking about time, you know, minutes, seconds, hours, things like that. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about opportune time. More so if I said, is it time for dinner? That is it the opportunity for me to eat dinner? We're talking about the opportunity. So here, he's talking about taking the opportunity, making great use of the opportunity. We should use the present day, and I believe in this, we should use the present day in celebrating and cherishing, even serving God's will and His people. Let's look at Galatians chapter 6, verse number 10. Galatians chapter 6, verse number 10. And after that, we're going to go to Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 15. I'm telling you that ahead of time, so brothers, if you get there before me, you can read it. Galatians chapter 6, verse number 10. If you have it, you can go ahead and read it. It says, "Therefore, as we have opportunity," that means as we have the given time that God gives us, "as we have opportunity, we must work for the good of all, especially for those who belong to the household of faith. So what he's telling us here, as the opportunity comes, look for opportunities. You have to look for them. They're not going to just smack you in the face. You have to look for those opportunities. Because when you are given them, God wants you to do good to all people. But especially giving preference to what? Those people in the household of faith. Those fellow Christians. Because we know that we are in the body. We have to look over our body first, right? I mean, you have to look over your body first. If your body's trembling and hurting, if your ear's hurting, guess what? Your mind's affected by that. You can't just do what you normally do when you feel the hurt, because it sends a signal to your brain. Same thing with your toe. If your toe, I understand it's a long distance from your brain, but you know how long it takes to get that signal to your brain? The way our bodies are made is amazing. We don't have to think about it. It just comes. That's our nervous system. Well, that's the same way. We have a central nervous system in our church. How is it? Well, we don't get it automatically. We have to talk. We have to look for opportunities. You don't just leave home after church, don't want to talk to nobody, right? Then you don't get the opportunity to see where you can help a fellow member of your body. Because we understand that you are only as strong as your body is. The people around you are. So we have to be a together people. So we have to be celebrating and cherishing each other here as a people. Do we do that? I don't know. But you have to ask yourself that question. Do you cherish the people, the fellow Christians? Or are you in a hurry to leave? Are you the last one to get here and the first one to leave whenever there's something going on? If you are, that means you're probably not cherishing and celebrating God's people. When we do these things, what we do is we enrich our lives. We enrich our own lives and we enrich the lives of others. What does it mean to enrich? It means to make fuller, to make more meaningful. Don't you want to make someone's life more meaningful? Don't you want to feel that your life is more meaningful? Don't you want it to be full? I hope so. It's making your life more rewarding and improving the quality of your life. I hear many times when people say, we ask them, hey, why are you smoking? You know it's bad to smoke. Well, we got to die anyway. I hear people say, you're going to die anyway. So what do they care about? Well, they care more so about the quality of a short time, not necessarily the quantity, right? They don't know when they're going to. I know some of the healthiest people, you know, who have died over some of the things that they just never thought they would go out of. You know, they live their lives in a very almost stressful situation to stick to a routine and things like that. And then they still, you know, end up dying. But the fact is, we never know where we're going to go. All we can do is cherish the moments we have and improve the quality that we have of life at the time we have it. So you can't just say, I know I should help that brother. I'm going to help him down the way, you know, in a week or two, I'm going to help. Try to do what you can to improve his quality of life at the moment. Wouldn't you want that to be done with yourself? And that's what the golden rule, right? Treat others how we want to be treated. So make them fuller. Make them more meaningful. That makes your life more rewarding. God richly blesses us, wanting us to rejoice in his gifts. And each day should be a time of prayer and celebration to our Lord. For instance, when God gives us a gift, he wants us to use it. He wants to use it for a purpose. When you give someone a gift, don't you want it to be used for a particular purpose that you give it to them for? For instance, if you gave me a fishing rod, and I don't even know how to fish, but if you gave me a fishing rod, I'm not that good at it. I'm not that patient with it. I move the fishing rod maybe every 3 seconds trying to see. But if you gave me a fishing rod, 2 weeks later, you know, you'd ask me, you see me at church, hey, how's that fishing rod doing? I'm like, oh, it's great, man, you know, put it into use. Put it into great use. You never ask me what I'm doing with it. You just say, oh, that's great, you put it into use. You come home to my house one day, and you see I've got the rod all broken up and put on top of my TV to use as an antenna. How would that make you feel? How would that make you feel? You'd be like, what? Brother Dave, really? Never again. You're never getting nothing from me again, right? Right. If you gave me a nice suit jacket, and you come to my house and, you know, something spills on the floor, and I say, oh, don't worry about it, I got it. And I grab the suit jacket you gave me out the closet, and I start, I got it all up, we all good. What you gonna think of me? How you gonna think of me? You think I'm grateful for that gift? Do you think you're gonna give me another suit? I don't know. We could use more examples. How about perfume? You give me some, or maybe you give a girl some perfume. And you find out that she's using it as a cleaning agent. She's spraying it to clean things around the house. She's not putting it on her body. How is that going to make you feel, men? Hey, you'd be pretty insulted, right? You'd be pretty, and then you wonder what's wrong with that girl. What's wrong with that woman, right? A Bible. You give someone a gift as a Bible, as a gift. And you come home to their house and you see that they're playing pool, and you say, man, your table's so level. What happened? Because it wasn't level last time I was here. And you say, oh, we got that underneath it. And it's your Bible that you gave them. Underneath the pool table, holding it up. Now, they're making use of it, but is it the use that it was made for? Is it why you gave it to them? No, it's not. No, it's not. So God expects us to use the gift he gives us the same way, for the purpose he gives it to us. And that's the same thing with each day. Each day, God is giving it to us as a blessing. He does not give it to us for us to do whatever we want for us. He has not even given us our life to do whatever we want with it. No, he hasn't. He gave us our life for his purpose. Now, unfortunately, we've lost track of that. We don't understand that, and we get really engulfed in our own lives. We start to use them for whatever we want to, and we think we're going to be made fools from those things that we try to engage in. But the fact is, we're going to talk about it a little later, your joy will never be complete when you're living for yourself. So, let us look at how we can use the day as it's intended for. Let's look at, I know I skipped, but I'm just doing it because 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 15 kind of goes along the same thing, talking about helping people, doing good to others while you can, serving God's people, because the house of Stephanus, that's what it says in that verse. In some New King James Version, the King James Version says that the house of Stephanus, they were the first converts in Achaia, the first Christians, the people who became Christians in Achaia. And they were, the word is used addicted in the King James Version. And another version is used devoted. They were very devoted or addicted to serving the people. That's addicted to serving the people of God. Have you ever heard of anybody being addicted to serving the Lord's people? I have not heard of it. I know I'm not addicted yet. I gotta work on that. Being addicted to that's a strong word. So we're gonna talk a little bit about that as well later. But how do we celebrate and cherish the day? Philippians chapter 4, I believe, will give us a little insight on that. Philippians chapter 4. Verse number 4. I see some people's head nodding, so that means you guys are understanding. I don't have to preach long. And it says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Rejoice always. Again, I will say rejoice. How do we rejoice? Where do we rejoice? It says rejoicing in the Lord. So I'm using an acronym today, and the lesson will be yours. L-O-R-D. Rejoicing in the Lord. Let's look at how we can celebrate today, cherish today in the Lord. First is L. L stands for live. You know, there's a difference between existing and living. Do you understand that? There's a great difference between living and existing. Living is expecting God to do wonderful things through you, by you, for you. Existing is just, you know, breathing air. Breathing air. Anybody can exist. But God wants us to be purposeful people. He wants us to live. Do you expect God? Do you really expect God to do wonderful things through you, for you, and by you? I hope you do. He challenges us to do that. Live expecting. Also, we have to look. L stands for look for the good and meditate on it. You know, it's hard to see the good in people even nowadays. It's hard to see the good when you look outside these walls. It's hard to see the good. Even with church folks, it's hard to see the good sometimes, right? We have to look for it. We have to look for it. That's why he tells us that we need to think and meditate on things, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are good, whatever things are good report, whatever things are worthy. But instead, what do? We turn on the news, and what do we get? Negative stuff. We turn on the TV, we look at the Bad Girls Club. We look at the TV, we talk, all negative, 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 negative. And how does that affect us? We don't really think about how that affects us. It may not take your spirit down, but guess what? I'm sure it does not help you in becoming addicted for the Lord. I'm sure it doesn't proactively, you know, push you in the right direction. If anything, it may keep you where you are or digress you. So we have to be careful about what we look at, what we meditate on. When you look for the good and meditate on it, you won't be finding yourself living beneath that cloud. Some of us have a cloud over our head that God didn't put there, we put there. It could be even our own mistakes in the past that we put over our heads. We I don't know why, but it's just some reason you understand, we all understand that it takes maybe 1,000 compliments to get rid of one negative thing. If you tell somebody a negative thing, brother, you know, you really didn't do too good on that prayer. Do you know that that's going to stick with them for a while? It's not something that just, you know, unless they just really don't care about what you say, but it sticks with you. When someone, if I saw my cousin's play and I said, bruh, I wasn't feeling that. I don't know how you put yourself in that. That was played out, man. You weren't showing your skill. That's going to stick with him for a while. Even when I come to him next time and say, you know, that's pretty good. He still has in the back of his mind what I said before. Why do we think on the negativity? I don't know. Maybe it's just the way we're wired. But the fact is, we need to forgive ourselves a lot of times. We need to forgive. This is how I put it. I put it. We need to forgive the person we were. We need to accept and motivate the person we are. And we need to put faith in the person we will become. Those are the three things we need to do. The past, who you were before, that's your past. If Paul was constantly looking at his past when he was destroying the church, trying to kill this church, do you think we would be reading all the things that we read now? The New Testament is mainly his writings. Jesus wrote through him. He did a lot of things that he put in the past. He says, I'm sorry, it's a trustworthy and worthy statement of all acceptance. The Lord came here to save sinners. He says, who I am the chief. I am the worst of the sinners. He came here to say, save me. But look what I'm doing now. He put the past behind him, and he is accepting the person he was at the time. He knew he wasn't there yet because he said, I'm still going. He says, I know that I have not got there where I want to be yet. I have not finished the race. I'm still going. And I'm looking to press on to and grab hold on to what God has grabbed hold on to me for. The reason he's grabbing hold on me for is so that I can grab hold up to the prize. So we understand we have to accept and motivate the person we are, and then we have to put faith. Because we are God's workmanship. We are God's workmanship. He says we are his workmanship, and he is working in us and through us. So we understand that whatever he starts, he will finish. He's going to get you to the finish line. You don't have to rush. But I would say you should aid the process. Sometimes we grow a lot slower than we really could be. We do, if we are real with ourselves. So anyway, that's the L. We need to live. And we need to look. Oh, you know what? This is something I want to say. And I said I love songs. So this is a song that I was listening to as I was actually driving here. I bought a CD from a group from, I think, Pepperdine University. They was attending an event that I was at. And I bought one. And they had a song that's, I think it's called Don't Forget. And it goes like this. Don't forget what he said. I won't give you more than you can take. I might let you bear, but I won't let you break. What he's saying is this. Even in our issues, even in our problems, even when our outlook might not be so good, even when we're looking at things and we say, you know what, this is not where I thought I would be. God, I don't know if you're working with me at this time because I don't feel like I'm being blessed. The fact is, he says that all things will work together for you if you love the Lord. But another thing he says that I will not put more on you than you can bear. I won't put more on you than you can take. I may let you bear, but I won't let you break. So the fact is, wherever you are, whatever position you are, either God is making it happen or God is allowing it to happen. Those are the only two things, because we understand that he is sovereign, meaning he controls all things. Either he is allowing it to happen, and if he's allowing it to happen, he's allowing it to happen for a good reason. I believe it's going to make you grow. And if he's making it happen in your life, you may feel oppressed. But you need to understand, you take the good with the bad that God gives you. He reigns on the just and the unjust. And he's going to give us things that's going to water us. It may not feel good to you sometimes, but if we put faith in what God is going to take us, we will get there. I spent enough time on L. Let's look at O. O stands for opportunity. I'm talking about a lot of opportunity. Take the present time, where you are now. I don't care if you're 12 years old. I don't care if you're 14 years old. I'm talking to even you, my cousin. 17, 18, 21. Take the time you are in your life right now to use it and dedicate it to the Lord. I'm not saying you can't do anything else, but believe me, within your dedication to the Lord, you'll find yourself doing a lot of things that will please you and it'll find you fuller. But I don't want to jump ahead of myself. Truly, our sense of joy, our satisfaction, our fulfillment in life increases no matter what our circumstances are if we are in the center of God's will. If we are in the center of God's will, how do many of us like living on the edge? A lot of us like living on the edge. I like even living on the edge to a degree. But when it comes to God's will, you do not want to live on the edge. You do not want to be on the edge of the fence, hurtling, trying to find out how close can I be out, you know, without being totally outside of God's will. But still, you know, not making them too mad. You want to live to please the Lord. You don't want to live just to not make him mad. What kind of way of living is that? But many of us do live that way. We try to see whatever we can do as long as we don't get outside of his total will. But if we were striving to please him, I believe when you love someone, you try to please them. And when you love someone, you're trying to be in the center of the will. I mean, you married people, come on, tell me, are you trying to just barely do enough to cut it? No. If you love the person you're with, you're trying, you're being proactive in making them happy. You're not lukewarm, you're not room temperature. And we understand what the Lord wants to do with us if we don't take good, if he feels that we're lukewarm. He says, I'm not going to waste time trying to figure out if you're hot or cold. I'm just going to spit you out. So the fact is, let's be proactive. Let's be taking the opportunity to serve him in whatever we can do. His plan, we have to put trust. This is what it takes. Turn to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. You all got your Bibles? I don't hear a lot of pages turning. I'm guessing y'all got iPads and iPhones now. So Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. And bear with me, I'm almost done. And we know this is the great Hall of Fame faith chapter in the Bible. Hebrews chapter 11 says this. Verse number 6. It says, now without faith, it is impossible to please God. We understand that. We recite that a lot. Many times we don't go to the rest of the verse, what it says. It says, for the one who draws near to him must believe. This is what he wants us to do. He says, we must believe that he exists. That's number one. Do you believe that he exists? Well, hopefully you do. The demons believe he exists. That's what it says, right? Even the demons believe. So, that's not enough. He said, yeah, it's not enough to just believe. You have to believe that he exists, and you also have to believe firmly in your heart. This is the only time you're really going to find yourself doing something for the Lord. Living on the battlefront. Doing something for the Lord. Even when the waves come, doing something for the Lord. This is how. This is the concoction. This is what he wants you to do. He says, you believe he exists, but you have to believe that he is a rewarder for those who seek him. Those who seek him, you have to believe in your heart that he will reward you when you are seeking him. Seeking him doesn't mean just looking for him. It means looking to please him. So, for instance, you're in a hard time. I'm not saying you're in a hard time now, but believe it. You're either in a hard time, leaving a hard time, or about to go in a hard time. You may be in a hard time thinking about, oh man, how am I going to pay these bills? How am I going to do this? How am I going to do that? And then you may be brought an opportunity to cheat on something. You may be brought an opportunity. Maybe you're tempted. Devil tempts you to say, hey, just play the lotto. Maybe you win. Maybe you do this, something like that. It's not really gambling. I mean, you're not really things like that. Or just cheat a little on your taxes. It's not really cheating. You know, it's not really stealing. That's how Satan uses things. He's very subtle. He's very subtle. But the fact is, you have to believe that he will reward you if you do it his way. If you bear up on things. And you take time and be patient. He will reward you. Now, you may not see how he's going to reward you, but he will reward you in due time. But you have to understand that his time is always the right time, not your time. You can't trust your time. Your timing will mess things up. Your time will mess things all up. I remember sometimes when someone was in a rush to get somewhere, and they were waiting in a line. I forgot where it was. I think it was JCPenney or something. They was in the return line, and they just were so mad. Man, why is it taking so long? It's only one person. Why is it not two people? How come it's not three people at the customer service? Things like that. We know we get like that sometimes. And he was in a rush. Well, anyway, he gets the stuff that he's done, and then he finds out. He turned on the radio, he finds out, it was on the news, actually, later that day. He finds out that there was an incident right outside the mall area that he could have been really involved in. There was a shooting. And somehow, some way, so he said, well, you know, maybe it was God, because if I would have got out a little earlier, I might have been involved in that shooting. I would probably want to get injured myself. So we never know. Our timing sometimes can mess things up, but God's timing is always on time. So we must believe that He rewards us. We must believe that He rewards our obedience. Do you really believe that? Ask yourself that. As you walk through life, and we're all prevented in some ways with obstacles, but when those obstacles come, are you tempted to take the easy way out? Are you tempted to take the cheating way out? Is Satan playing tricks on you, luring you? Acting like, you know, even demons become like angels of light. They try to act like they're angels of light, and they whisper to you, you know, it's not that wrong if you just do that. Don't let Satan trick you. Don't let him. Don't let him get a foothold, because he says that he is here, the enemy is here to steal, kill, and destroy. That's what he says. He's a thief, and he will not stop until he kills you, steals you, ultimately destroys you. So the fact is, we must believe that He is a rewarder. And when you really believe that, then you'll find yourself, like I said, doing God's will, even though you may think that doing God's will may hurt you. You understand that He is going to reward you through your obedience. R. R stands for rejoicing. We can rejoice in the day when we render praise and service to God. So rejoicing and rendering praise and service to God. You know, a child of God should be a visible beatitude for joy and gratitude. I don't have time to look at it, but if you look at John is filled with statements that says, so that your joy may be full, so that your joy may be made full. John 15:11 talks about how Jesus was telling them things that was going to happen before it happened. He says, you know, I'm sorry, I know you guys love me, but I'm going to have to die. Things are going to happen to me, but he says, after 3 days, I will be raised again. And I'm telling you this. He says, I'm telling you all these things beforehand so that your joy can be made full. So that when they do kill me, you don't think that I'm dead and I'm not going to come back. Your hope is still here. John 16:24. He talked about that as well. 1 John 1:4. Those are all passages that talk about joy being complete. God wants our joy to be complete. As you sit here today, is your joy full? Is your joy complete? I'm not talking about are you happy about every little thing that's happening in your life, but I'm talking about do you have the general disposition of joy in your life? If someone asks you, how are you doing? Can you really genuinely say, I'm doing well? Even when things around you may not be happening the way you want it, can you genuinely say, or are you just faking it till you make it? Oh, I'm good. I'm good. I'm all right. I'm doing all right. Well, I'm telling you, God does not want His children experiencing anything other than full joy. If you're not joyful, that's not His fault. That's not His fault. You can't blame God. He says He has done what He has done so that your joy can be complete. So when we understand this, then we can rid ourselves of the inner conflicts and the wrong attitude towards life. We will almost automatically burst into joy. You know, I had a coworker I used to work with, and I would ask him, it got to the point where I would ask him on purpose because it was just comedic, his answers sometimes. And I would say, hey, how you doing today, Dave? His name was Dave. And this was a while ago, and I worked at Office Depot in the tech section, and I would fix computers and things like that. And he was one who, you would think he had it all made. He was like in his 40s. He still lived with his mom. His mom, you know, acted, I mean, she didn't really have to do anything. Just go home and, you know, act, pretend like he works or something like that. But she provided him with everything. She was a lawyer. She gave him cars, this, that, and the other. Never tried to push him out, anything like that. But he would come in, I'll say, how's it going, Dave? You know, that's exactly how he said it. Considering I'm still alive, I guess I'm okay. And I would just look like, man, are you serious? Considering you're still alive, man, look at this. You got a nice car out there, sitting out there, right? You don't look like you're starving at all. You don't look like anything's really wrong. What's wrong? What's wrong? Really? Never joyful. Never full. Well, you know what? I could understand. He's not in Christ. I can understand that. He has an improper worldview. But us Christians, if you don't have the proper worldview, you need to get it. We have our joy full. We should have our cup running over. And when you have the right attitude toward life, you will automatically burst into joy. The bills you have, they're not going to go away. But God still wants you to have joy. The things that's going to happen will happen, but God still wants you to have joy. Last but not least is D. D. And that's when I talk about dedication and devotion. We need to dedicate ourselves to God's purpose and resolve to stand when no one else will. Will you stand for God when no one else will? Or will you, you know, how that peer pressure goes. We're not kids anymore. No, we're not kids. We're not people who say, you know, well, everybody's doing it. But as adults, we still have that mindset. We still have that mindset. We're still children if we don't grow mentally, if we don't mature mentally. We're just overgrown children. And I look at a lot of overgrown children on television, and I just have to turn around. I have to try to watch, you know, those judge shows sometimes. I say, oh, you know, you just want to almost smack somebody. This didn't make any sense, you know. The fact is, man, and brothers and sisters, when you dedicate yourself, when you resolve in your mind that, look, as for me and my household, I'm going to serve the Lord, and you know that even when there's only one person, we understand how many souls were saved through the ark. The whole world was doing some things, right? It was only eight people. Eight people saved through the ark. Noah and his family. And everybody else was saying, everybody else doing it. Everybody else doing it. He was willing to stand. Through the ridicule, I'm sure people was talking about him. Why are you building a boat? Ain't no rain. Never rain. What are you talking? Why are you building a boat? Years had passed. Years had passed. It wasn't 10 months. No, it took years for that boat to go. And no doubt, people were walking past like, dude, you still walking on that boat? 30 years have passed. You're talking about God, you heard a vision and you've seen God and he said it's going to rain. Are you serious? You're still walking on it? You are out of your mind. Now, they didn't have insane institutes back then, so they couldn't put him there. But I'm sure in their mind they were thinking, this dude is insane. This person's insane. What are they doing? He is able to save just a few. That's why when they was asking him the question, Lord, how many will be saved? He says, make every effort to get through the narrow way, because few will find it. Narrow is the way, and few will find it that leads to everlasting life. But large is the way. Big, wide is the gate. The gate is wide as you can make it to get into the place that leads into everlasting destruction. Why is it wide? Well, he's not talking about necessarily, you know, we don't want to think about it as physically being wide. What he's saying is the way is easy. That's what he's saying. It's easy. You can do whatever. You can get it in however you want. You don't have to change anything about you. Just come as you are. We understand, though, but to get to the pearly gates, you can't come as you are. It's not a come as you are affair. You come to Christ as you are, but you can't continue to be that person you were. You have to let God mold you, right? Let God create a new heart in you. Because if you don't, you're going to find yourself, hardening your heart. And when you harden your heart, when you become callous, man, God is going to do a job on you. And this is the point. You don't. He's going to do a job on you. He's going to break you down because he says that he gives grace to those who are humble. But he stands against those who are arrogant, those who think they can do it their way, those who think their way is better than his way. Lord, I know you tell me to love my neighbor, but I'm sorry. Your way, it just ain't going to work. I gotta throw my hands at this situation, things like that. When you do it your way, he says he stands against you. And when God is against you, when you harden your heart to him, and you're not soft pieces of clay that he can mold, guess what he's gonna do? He's gonna break you. And he will break you. He will bring you down to your knees to a point where you may not feel like you can get back up. But that is for his purpose. He breaks you down for his purpose. And if you still don't get it, you become like Pharaoh. And we understand, when you get your heart like Pharaoh, when you get your heart like Pharaoh and you still don't want to give in to God's will, you don't want to submit yourself to God, he says every knee going to bow one day. Every knee is going to bow and confess that Jesus is Lord and Savior of all. Every knee is going to bow. I'd rather bow right now when I can do it right now. But he says other people are going to be made to do it when they get there. And they're going to be bowing down, but it's going to be a different type. They're just going to be bowing down from fear. Oh, Lord, if you would have told me, oh, Lord, if you would have just showed up, if you just would have, you know, parted the clouds and said, I am here. But God doesn't work that way. He doesn't work that way. So we need to take the time now to submit Do not harden your hearts, because he will get his way out of you, with you, without you, or over your dead body. He will do it. So dedicate yourself to God's purpose and resolve and get addicted. Don't be lukewarm. Plan on getting better. Plan it. You know how you plan to get better at your profession? You know how you plan, you go to school, you get better, you take more classes, and you understand that even when you take more classes and you get into your career, a lot of times they push you back into school to get another certificate and to get into, you always got to upgrade and update. Well, why don't we do that with our Christianity? We ought to be doing that with our Christianity as well. Continuing to update. That's why Bible class. I sat here in the Bible class and it was so enriching. It made my life fuller just listening to the story of Esther and how she dealt with the problems in Mordecai and how she dealt with the problems and how God was working and he had his hand and saved the Jews through their hands. Two little people. But the fact is, there was only about four people. I'm not trying to step on people's toes, but there was only, and then he had the same problem at our church. A few people that come to Bible class. Why is that? If we are addicted, believe me, and I hate using dark examples, but if this was a crack house and you were offered some crack, and you were a crackhead, you were addicted to it, guess what? You're going to be here filling this house. If we say, free crack, you're going to be here as early as possible. You may wake up, oh, I'm getting there, as early as possible. But the fact is, God wants us to be addicted to his word. That's the only thing that's going to make us full. And men, brothers, sisters, you're going to continue to try all kinds of things under heaven to try to make your joy full. But it will never be complete. It will never be complete. And no, reading the word is not like, you know, one hit and then you're addicted. It won't be that way. But the closer you get to God, the more you'll be addicted to serving his will. And then you'll start to feel like the psalmist David said, where he said, I meditate on your will day and night. I just love it. I mean, Jeremiah said, it tastes good to me. It feels good to me. It tastes like honey. It's sweet like honey. It's going to take time to get that way. You may need to get a Bible, first of all, that you can understand. Sometimes we read the King James and even older languages and the these and thous, and that get us, you know, from... Don't understand. Don't get me twisted. King James Version is great. It's great. But it's just a language. You need to get a Bible that you can get engulfed in, that you can read the Word, because that is the point. He doesn't want the Bible sitting on your pool table to lift it up. He doesn't want the Bible used just to smack flies off the counter. He wants the Bible used because it's the all-powerful, all-living Word of God. And it won't live in your life. It won't live in your life until you become proactive about it. That's how we can cherish. That's how we can celebrate the day. That's how we can really say, Lord, you are ruling the way that I move. Lord, when I breathe your air, only you can rescue me. This is my prayer. You show me how deep love can be. I cherish the day. I won't go astray. I won't be afraid, and you won't catch me running. That is the lesson. Now, today, if you haven't become a Christian, if you have not become a child of God, well, you really cannot cherish the day. Matter of fact, you'll be living like I was when I feel like I was in my sins, and I felt the guilt on me. I said, you know, I'm scared. If I die today, I may not be where I want to be. Well, the fact is, I was not going to be where I was going to be. You got to go through the door. And if this is the boat up here, you got to come the correct way. And Jesus says, I am the door. And he tells us the way to come. We can't make our own way. There's not many ways to heaven, as people say. Well, you know, you could go through Muhammad, I could go through Buddha, and you could go through this. No, he made it very plain. And he said some strong words that other people didn't understand. He said, you cannot get through the Father unless you go through me. You got to do it my way. And what's my way? You got to believe that I'm the Son of God. Not me, but you got to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You got to repent of your sin. That means do a U-turn. Turn away from yourself and turn to God. You've been pleading yourself for too long. Turn to God. Do it his way. You've been beating your... Aren't you tired of getting beat up? Just trying to do it your own way? Do it God's way. Do it God's way. And at least the bruises that he gives you will be bruises to get you to where he wants you to be. You have to repent. You have to confess that he is the Son of God before men. Because if you confess him before men, he says, I will confess you before my Father. And you have to be baptized for the remission of your sins. And that's how you get into the boat. That's how you get into Christ. And if you're not inside Christ, just like if you weren't inside that boat, you think you could swim. you're going to be really tested. You're not going to be able to swim like that. You're going to need some air. You're going to need to breathe.
and only God can give you that air. Come to Christ. Be saved from your sins. And as Peter told them and the apostles told them on that day, save yourself from this perverse generation. The generation is perverse. And I don't want to look nothing like the people that are not on God's team. I don't care. You call me a holy roller. Call me a saint. I love those. I love any time that it put me closer to being in God's team. I want to be in the right uniform, because when he comes back, he's not going to be looking for people in the wrong uniform. It's going to be too late to say, oh, I know I've been trying to not look like a Christian, not try to act like a Christian. Now I want to hurry up and put on the uniform. No, it's too late now. You didn't want to play for my team. I'm sorry. You're not going to be where the team is going. You're going to be where the people you want to play with are going. So the fact is, get in Christ today. Take the opportunity. This is the opportune time. And if you are a child of God already, take the opportune time to be prayerful. You need to be prayerful for one another. Because as we are out there working in the vineyard, and we put on the armor of the Lord, guess what? We only have each other watching our backs. If you read the armor of the Lord in Ephesians chapter 6, it doesn't talk anything about a back plate. It talks about a breastplate. It talks about a helmet. It talks about a shield. But I don't know too many people using the shield that way. We have to be prayerful and watchful for one another, because our enemy is prowling like a lion, just waiting who he can devour. And I don't want any of us to get devoured. Do not let the Satan's tricks fool you. He is alive. He is real. And he will not stop until he kills you. So with that said, the opportunity is yours. Come as we stand and sing the song of invitation. Whatever your need may be, I beg you to come. Number 207.